Hey, it's 1:05 p.m. It's time for lunch, and you're here with us right here at our table. Around the table, we have the most interesting and influential tastemakers, newsmakers, lawmakers, style makers, givers, foodies and friends, movers and shakers, healers and helpers. Each and every day, we save the seat at the head of our table for you, our guest of honor. And we are so excited that you are here with us. Because we start off, what a privilege it is being live from the city of gastronomy, where each and every day we have the chance to make a difference. And the commitment that we have made to each other and the mission that we bring to this program and this meal, where we break bread, and we're breaking great bread. We are breaking barrio bread. Thank you, Don Guerra. I love Don Guerra's barrio bread because he is something else. And the energy in this room is so high today that I hope that if you are a little bit hungry and you're thinking about what to have for lunch and you're in the car with us or you're at your desk or your house, wherever you are right now with us, we have something just for you. Because each and every day, right here live from the city of gastronomy, we tap into all of the resources that this community supports each and every single one of us with. This week, we have a week of programming that is going to blow your mind. It's going to knock your socks off, and it is going to set you on a path, a trajectory for awesomeness all week long, because every day you have to remember that it is a choice. It is absolutely a choice. And when we want to know what kind of choices we are sort of inspired to make, we look to people who inspire us. And one of the things that happens when we have friends who inspire us is that in a way we can see it. And if we can see it, we can be it. And so because when we can see it, we can be it, we want to see my first co-host in the co-host seat, where he belongs, and he is smiling, and he brought the power this week. Pima County Supervisor Ramon Valdez is here in the studio with us, and he has lifted us just by being here, and he is inspiring us because the powerful brand of positive that he brings is the kind that we can embrace, aim at, and become. Because when we think about what he gives us, we make it real. How are you?
Fantastic, Jennifer. Thank you for such kind words.
Listen, you do this incredible thing. Like what happens when you go out in the world? And we should say that also in the studio with us is our other co-host and our little, I feel like in a way we've got like this little Marvel superhero thing going on Mondays where we like all have our superpower and we bring it here and we're like, all right, we're gonna bring this and be in service to this community through these airwaves, through this time together. And Michelle Cardenas is here from Brightway Wellness. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
What superpower did you bring today?
Power of Reiki.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So here's the thing. Like, Ramon, I love that you're here, but I have to ask you, because we're talking, you had a great weekend. When you go out in the world, do people just get drawn to you because of all this really powerful, positive energy you just exude?
You know, one of the wonderful things when I go out, a lot of times now, ever since we've been doing the positive energy and the positive outreach, is that you get to hear stories about how people are listening and paying attention, and how on those days where they see nothing but darkness, you help them see the light, or you help them keep going, or you help them cross over that last threshold before they're actually successful. And you know, it's so wonderful to hear that, that's really the reason why you do it.
Mm-hmm. I want to, we start off every week with a word of inspiration, and you always bring sort of something that crystallizes the thought of the moment. And I love that today you go, I've already got my word. So what's your word that you brought with us today?
Well, thank you for asking. I think the word that I'd like to choose today is choices. And Jennifer, no, it's not just my word. You used it a few moments ago.
And you were thinking that before I mentioned it. So isn't the synchronicity of the fact that we're like on the same page saying, yeah, that's what we're supposed to talk about. You got to choose, babe.
Absolutely. And it's going to go, I'm doing a Facebook Live this afternoon to deal with more with this. But as most of people know, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. So everybody remembers the quote of Yoda and do or do not, there is no try. In truth, if you look at the context in which that was said in Empire Strikes Back, it was when Luke Skywalker was doubting himself, and Yoda basically said, no, you can do it, or you can choose not to do it, but it's a choice. And part of what I'm going to be talking about in a Facebook Live later on today, dealing with choices, it's really we can choose to be everything we can be. And it's not... When you're comparing it to somebody else, it's not about anybody else. It's based on your gifts. Have you lived up to your potential? If you have, then you've made the right choice. Have you challenged yourself to read another book? Have you challenged yourself to learn more? Have you challenged yourself to give more? Have you challenged yourself to do more? And so that's what I mean by choices. We can all be like a tree, where we are reaching out our branches towards the sky and the heavens while we maintain our roots firmly rooted to the ground, but reaching as far as we can reach for those stars and that sun and that sky. Or we can choose not to be. One of those is a truly fulfilling life where in the end we make a difference. And like Robert Frost said, the path less traveled by has made all the difference.
When we are confronted with choices, is it always apparent that a choice is in front of us? Or have we become so distracted in the plugged-in world, the digital world, the busy world, that we don't always see the moment of choice in front of us?
You know, I think sometimes, and I like to think of them as opportunities, mm-hmm. Okay? Oftentimes, how many times have one of us, and including myself, all of a sudden, a few minutes go by after something happened and you think, oh, I wish I would have done this. So it's not just because we're distracted. Oftentimes, we're not looking for that opportunity. And we're all guilty of it. What we need to do is, it's like Dr. John Maxwell says, we need to be the first to be ready to give. Mm-hmm. And we need to be looking for that opportunity, because on any given day it exists. But sometimes I'm just as guilty as anybody else. It all of a sudden passes by, and a few months go by, I'm like, oh, I wish I would have. Mm-hmm.
I sent you a link that I found and was watching online over the weekend. I love what Oprah does on the weekends on her Super Soul Sundays. And one of the things she had this week was a conversation with David Brooks. And this book that he's written about the second mountain, and this idea that the first mountain is all about ego and the second mountain is really where we all aspire to be, which is, you know, once we realize and attain all the things we think we want, and that's really not ever the answer. And I have to say, when a New York Times award-winning writer and Oprah are having these mainstream conversations and being viewed by millions of people, it's not fringy for us to come on the radio and say, hey, Tucson, guess what? Because Tucson, home to Miraval and Canyon Ranch and Sanctuary Cove, and there's all of this happening, and it's been happening for 4,000 years here in the city of gastronomy, because for 4,000 years, people have been coming here and cultivating food, but it really was not just the food they were cultivating. They were cultivating connection and conviviality and health and healing and wellness. And so there's a lot that comes on in this space that we have. So given all of those things, when I saw this and I sent this to you, I realized on some level, first of all, it made me think of you. I'm like, oh my God, I hope he's watching this too. So did you see it?
I didn't have a chance to do it. I was busy. In true confession, I actually went to go see the Avengers movie and date night with my wife.
Sweet. She's an awesome woman, by the way.
Oh, she's incredible.
She's incredible. So let's just stop for a second. So there's this idea that if we have this opportunity present itself, and in his instance, this book, I'm going to paraphrase in the most general sense, you have to have some kind of crisis that cracks you open from which the rest of this second mountain life experience is going to grow. Like, you have to have something happen. We all have them. Some of them are small and some of them are... Those big things, when those happen to you, you know you're facing a choice. And I thought it was really powerful. But it made me realize most of life is not about that one big moment where someone comes and like says you're fired or somebody dies or something happens that's truly like crack you open. Most of life is like kind of this smaller, daily, grinding series of moments in which you choose. And then there are these realms in which we compete and live and give and strive and try that are even more of these small moments. I want to give you the chance to help us understand how life really is more than those big moments. It's really about those little moments. Because the one thing I was struck by in the conversation with Oprah and David Brooks was they didn't really talk about those until they got to the place where they said, but it's everything you do.
Right. And if you take a look at those big moments, if you look at some of the high performance coaches that exist today, you've got Brendan Burchard with his car accident. You got Tony Robbins when he was bankrupt and back in a one bedroom apartment. You've got John Maxwell when he was a pastor in a small church and someone actually asked him if he had a life plan or a personal growth plan. Those are big moments that we all have heard about. But in truth, what really makes the biggest difference oftentimes is not those huge, tremendous choices, but the choices we make every day.
Yeah,
it's remember, we've talked about it a little bit on it last year, or last week, I'm sorry, when we have to write down our goals with the understanding that throughout the year, we may have to modify them. Why? Because the goal gives us a direction in which to head. And if every day you take a step in that direction, whether or not you achieve that goal is almost irrelevant. It's who you're becoming on your path to achieving that goal that's important. Jim Rohn, Tony Robbins, all of them have said it. It's not achieving the goal that's important. It's the person you're becoming to get to achieving that goal that's important. So when you talk about the little steps, think about this. If you've got a big boulder and you've got to move it up a hill and you can, it's 365 feet to the top of the hill and you can only move it a foot a day, it's that 1 foot every single day, that constant motion every single day that's going to get you to the top of that mountain. So that's a lot like life. Really, yeah, you can lean into it and get it a foot and a half. But it's not the foot and a half that gets you to 365 feet. It's the consistent day after day consistency in our life because we know the direction that we're heading and we're taking a step in that direction every single day that gets us there. Sure, it's great when you have this incredible epiphany. Then you can talk about it and motivate people. But motivation, and that's what something that people don't understand, motivation lasts a short period of time. It's persistence, and your why that takes over after motivation and inspiration have waned.
And most people listening to us right now are having lunch, and I have to say, this is meant to be nutrition. This is meant to be that lunchtime conviviality. We're having lunch together, and the nutrition is this dividend of inspiration. But when you say that, I'm like, yeah, I can do the 300. But life is not so easy as saying like yesterday is going to be like tomorrow is going to be like the day after that, so that all I have to do is the same thing over and over again. Because life throws you curveballs. You get a flat tire, your kid gets sick, you run out of money, whatever it is, you're going to have something pop up and it's going to make the path that was, you know, go 45 feet and then turn right and then, you know, go around the bend. That was yesterday's path. We have a completely different path every day because everything's going to be different every day. How do you adjust so that you can be consistent? What's the mindset that helps me do that?
You know, and part of it comes down to understanding how to be kind to ourselves. We're going to have those days. We're going to fall flat on our face. And we're going to keep falling flat on our face. And it doesn't matter how many times we fall flat on our face. It matters that we get up one more time than we fall. So that's important to understand. I was just listening to a podcast on the from the Maxwell Company, John Maxwell Company, earlier today, and they talked a little bit both about in terms of leadership and leadership within the family of when crisis arrives. Oftentimes, it's said, whether it's in the family or in a business or in the community, it's said that a leader isn't really a leader until they go through crisis. In other words, we're born through some level of crisis, because it's not until there's some level of crisis that we understand who we are. So it's really about that personal growth. But understand, and this is something I think, because of what we're taught in our society, that winning is everything, people seem to associate failure with the opposite of winning. Failure is not the opposite of winning. Failure is step one in success. Let me say it again. Failure is step one in success. And I'll cite Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison, who invented the light bulb, was asked one time, he said, well, we understand that you failed 10,000 times. And you know what his answer was? He said, I didn't fail 10,000 times. I discovered 10,000 ways not to build a light bulb. So we need to be like Thomas Edison. Understand that we just have to get up one more time, then we fall. But we're going to fall, and that's part of the process. You've got to understand that that's going to happen. Expect it, get up, dust yourself off, and keep going.
And crisis is inevitable?
Absolutely. It's part of life. It's part of life, but remember, it's also part of how we grow. So it's, think about this, okay? If you're looking, I guess I'm into trees today because of the wind. If you look at a tree, and if you always secure it with a stick that keeps it from moving with the wind, it never develops the strength in the trunk. The moment you take away that stick, it's going to fall.
Right.
But if you let the tree bend with the wind, eventually as it grows strong. And that wind at some point in time is no longer going to bend that tree at the trunk. Why? Because that wind, like if we are those trees, and that wind is life. It pushes us, we push back. It pushes us, we push back. Eventually, we are that trunk, we are that tree. But it's only because that wind pushed us and we bent.
So we have to be flexible.
We have to be flexible.
And we also have to be flexible in the way that we look at everything, so that when we're shifting, what we're actually shifting is the way we react to and appreciate, or the kind of the kind of reaction we have when we're confronted with spilled water, spilled milk, flat tires, big crises.
Right.
Looking at them as something for which we have, in addition to the normal human reactions, a measure of gratitude for the opportunity that it presents us with.
You're absolutely right. We do not control what happens to us oftentimes. Sometimes we do, but oftentimes we don't. We do control our reaction to it. Now, Dr. Maxwell often says, look, I used to give myself 1 hour to mope after something bad that happened, but after that hour was done, I'm done moping, I'm moving forward. So understand, yeah, you can take some time to recover, but move past it. Move forward. And remember, bend in the wind.
Mm-hmm. It's 1:23 p.m. You are listening to Around the Table, live from the City of Gastronomy with Pima County Supervisor, the powerfully positive Ramon Valdevez, and our good friend Michelle Cardenas from Brightway Wellness. This is Around the Table. We are on AM 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk, where the local news is the local talk. The local talk is the local news. And you want to know why people from all over the world are coming to Tucson, looking at Tucson, investigating, researching, and being drawn to Tucson? We're going to talk about that when we come back. You, please, I'm so glad you're here. Stick around. I'd love to hear from you. 520-790-2040. We'll be right back. 1:28 p.m. and it's lunchtime right here on AM 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. This is Around the Table, live From the City of Gastronomy, we are here with Pima County Supervisor, one of the most positive, extraordinary men I've ever met. Ramon Valdez is here. Thank you so much for spending this time. I just can't tell you with words alone how inspired I am by the example that you have shown me, from which I can say, if I can see it, I can be it, and I can see that everything we make is a choice. And the choice, and they're little choices and big choices alike. Life isn't just about, you know, should I have the French fries or the salad with my, right? Like, that's not exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about little choices for sure, but we're talking about the big choices and the little choices, because life and where we are and where we end up and the journey that we're on is about making every choice. Michelle Cardenas from Brightway Wellness is here as well, joining us each and every Monday for this first hour of the week, where we set the week off and we're going to go on a trajectory. A little later on in the show, we are going to be speaking with Chef Ryan Clark from Casino del Sol. He had a big event this weekend. He had a big hit, the Meet the Chef event, that's all part of his big Iron Chef competition. I don't know. Have you been out there to judge that or taste it?
No, I haven't, but I had soup that he did the day before the Festival of Chefs in Hermosillo, and it was
phenomenal. I had that same soup. We were at the same table.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It was a different flavor in every spoonful. It was incredible.
And it was stunning. And a little later on, after Chef Clark, we're going to be talking to our friends in Chicago about the National Restaurant Association show. The other NRA, the people who will feed us. So you can't say we don't have a little bit of everything. Così fan tutti here at Around the Table, where each and every day we invite the most interesting newsmakers, tastemakers, lawmakers, style makers, movers and shakers and foodies and friends and healers and you. We've saved you the seat at the head of the table, our guest of honor. And I'm thrilled you're here. And Michelle, you always bring us, we're building week after week, we're building. We're sort of like going through in our own awakening and energy masterclass with you, because Tucson is such a healing destination. Our medical tourism, our healing tourism, our spa and wellness tourism. I think we need to have one great word to describe it all. I don't think we have one great word yet, although maybe we do. Ramon, do we have one word that Pima County uses to describe like everything in that realm of health and wellness and spas and medical? And because the medical stuff is like a huge industry for us. We really do have tourism from all over the world coming here.
Typically, it's medical tourism, but I don't know that it really covers the width and breadth of what we're talking about.
Right.
How about wellness diversity?
I'm going to work on that.
It's not one word.
That's not one.
Health and wellness diversity.
There you go.
Well, you know what we decided Michelle is? You're going to like this one. She's a spiritual philanthropist.
Oh,
I like that title. I'm like, oh, I'll take that.
Because you do a lot of things for a lot of people, and you just everywhere you go. And the reason that I'm using this as the segue, Ramon, for this part of our conversation is because it is the automatic, it's the default switch for Michelle. And in that, it is her reaction whenever she encounters anybody. And yeah, like she's a human being, so she has other moments where she does have reaction and falter a little bit, but she always responds with, how can I help? How can I serve? How can I help? And that second mountain that Oprah and David Brooks talk about and write about is that you shift from the first mountain reaction of, hey, I did that, and get a little defensive, to the second mountain reaction, which is Michelle's reaction, which is, how can I serve? How can I take a step back, think about this, contemplate whatever choice is in front of me, whether it's a choice about my life or someone else's. I'm at work and I'm actually serving. I'm waiting on a table. I'm helping a friend. I'm bending over to help a little kid or help an older person. Whatever it is that I'm encountering, am I first mountain reacting or am I second mountain reacting? Am I second mountain reacting in the sense that, meaning that, I'm going to say, how is the next thing I do or say going to serve?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. I mean, when we talked about the word change earlier today, it's important to remember that the choices we made yesterday are the life we're leading today. The choices we make today are the life we're leading tomorrow. The important part to remember about all of that is that in choosing, we can choose change as well. So when you're talking about the why we're doing things, whether it's the first mountain or ego or the second mountain, which I'll term as fulfillment,
right?
Which we've talked a little bit about in previous shows. Are you doing it for ego or are you doing it for fulfillment? Ryan, I believe it was Harper, wrote your ego is the enemy. Mm-hmm. Really kind of the point he's making is that we, a lot of us, as we grow up and mature and we have to get this job, we have to make this income, we have to have this house, we have to drive this car, those are the goals that we've set for ourselves to kind of determine the kind of life we lead. If you look at gentlemen or people throughout history like Carnegie from the steel industry in the early 1900s, if you look at his history, he spent the first half of his life doing exactly that. And he sent the second half of it giving it away.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. exactly what you're talking about is that second mountain of fulfillment. I mean, look at Bill and Melinda Gates as well.
Let me ask you about this. Is it fulfillment or is it living up to your potential that you mentioned at the beginning of the show?
Both. If you look at part of the fulfillment is doing things that you feel that you are giving in such a way that without getting anything back, you really have the sense of happiness that you've given. Because I think a lot of us don't realize how important that is as a human being, is that when you talked about Michelle and the fact that she's a spiritual philanthropist, part of her fulfillment is really what she does for others. And I think part of what many people don't realize yet is that we're so busy on our lives. We're so busy with everything that we have to do in our lives that we don't give time to do into those things to fulfill us.
But Michelle, do you take a step out the front door in the morning saying, all right, let's go serve somebody? Or do you just go live your life and say, whatever comes my way, I'm just going to do, I just have faith. Let's use the word, the big F word. Do I have faith that when that moment confronts me, like those moments confront Oprah, those moments confront David Brooks, that somebody will be confronted with a small moment or a big moment, and then they'll just their reaction, their immediate response is to serve?
For me, it's stepping out with faith and just an inner knowing that the universe is going to bring me whatever I need and whatever I need to do. So when I'm presented with something, I just go with the flow. I don't set an intention. I'm going out to serve, because I think it's so ingrained in me now that I don't even think about it anymore. So I just go, I just do, I serve. That's what fulfills me.
And it's beautiful because it is a mindset of abundance where you just said it. The universe will give me what I need and I'm going to give back for it.
Right.
And I think a lot of times we get caught up in just different moments where maybe we're not in that mindset, but they get us out of sync with the rest of the universe as well.
And it starts mm-hmm. when we're really young. Hey, he got a bigger cookie, or that was a longer hug. I want my hug to be long, or whatever it is. How do we become aware that these things that were small and maybe almost existentially invisible to us as they were happening, were like kind of chipping away that thing and sort of pushing us in the direction of the first mountain versus the second mountain? Because I kind of see little kids kind of in life, it's almost like we're born on the second mountain and we kind of get pulled to the first mountain and then we got to like work our way back.
This is
just me believing. No one cares what I think. But that's why we have guests on the show, and I'm meant to just ask these questions, but I couldn't help but suggest that?
Well, if you think about it, you're absolutely right. And it's the programming that we get to our subconscious as we're growing up. And most of the times we're not even aware. And we touched on it a little bit before, in that the bulk of our brain is actually our subconscious mind. Think of it as a computer. The problem with the subconscious mind is it doesn't have anybody checking to see whether or not those programs still are working. Instead, oftentimes, those programs that it's running are detrimental to our fulfillment, detrimental to our health, detrimental to our success, and detrimental to our goals. So it's really, really important to figure out if that's what's going on, because the subconscious is really an autopilot.
We have a caller. Matthew's phoned in. He's got a comment, and we're thrilled he's here to join us at our luncheon today. Hey, Matthew, how are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Awesome.
Hi, Matthew.
Oh, but you guys sound great today. And, you know, I always like the positivity that comes from listening to you guys. And I was just going to add one little comment to the subject matter, and in the total thing that, you know, when I think about happiness, I heard somebody say it once that it's simply a byproduct of, and I think you guys have covered, you know, what it's a byproduct of, doing things, you know, giving back, whatever. But I always hold on to that little reminder, you know, you can't find happiness. It's not something you find directly. It's not a pot of gold.
It's nothing you buy.
Yeah, it's merely a byproduct.
Matthew, in your own life experience, do you find that happens for you, that when there are certain things that you do, you just sort of become aware of the fact, like, hey, wait a second, I'm really happy right now. How did I get here? I'm like, oh yeah, I did this thing, and yeah, that actually holds true. Have you had that experience? Can you
constantly
sort of? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even calling in right now, it gives me a sense of happiness, and it's unintended. It's never the goal. You know, you can't goal happiness. You know, it's one of those things that it's the unintended consequence of other things.
You know what I call? Go ahead, Matthew.
Sometimes it's going out for a walk, and you come back, and all of a sudden, you know, you feel a little bit happier. You know, it's not going to happen every single time. I mean, people want to quantify happiness. They want to, you know, bottle it. They want to subsidize it. You know, whatever. It's not something that you can bottle. It's something that it may not happen every time you go out for a run. Sometimes you go out for a run, and you're going to feel just tired. Sometimes you go out for a walk, you're going to feel tired. Sometimes you've been exercising. I had a friend a couple yesterday talk to me about they were just so exhausted from 3 days of exercising, and they were in pain, and they weren't happy. But I laugh, because people are don't think that if you do any one thing, chances are if you do it because you think it'll make you happy, it's not going to make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Happiness is a byproduct of an unquantifiable thing.
Matthew, so, do you know what I call it? I call it a dividend, right?
That's a good word. That's a good word.
Because you know what? Like, what a bonus, right? Like, what a bonus. You see, that unintended consequence, that's, I love the idea that there's just a bonus. You can't expect it. It just comes.
Exactly. And often I think it comes because we're not seeking it. You know, we're living our lives, as your one person, your caller said, or one of your guests, you're living your life. You're doing things productively. You're trying to make a difference in small ways. I think Supervisor Valadez, you know, is one of those people who, you know, behind the scenes is making a difference for all of us in Pima County. And we just don't know it. I mean, he's not out there every day saying, hey, look at me, you know, I just did this for you. No, he doesn't have to, because behind the scenes, you know, I know he's working these issues so that my streetlights work or my county, you know, services are there. The point is, he doesn't get up every day thinking, oh, if I do this, I'm going to be happy today. No, it comes unintentionally, because he's doing the work. And all of a sudden, he's just a happy person.
Right. And he's also not waking up saying, what's in it for me?
Exactly. And I think it's true for all of us. I think we all need to recognize we're going to have good days, we're going to have bad days. But that's, you know, happiness comes in all shapes and sizes. Sometimes I think I've seen a lot of people out there with colds, you know, getting over a cold. All of a sudden makes you feel happy because you got over it finally. So, or you got allergies and you have a moment of relief and you're like, all of a sudden, you know, a smile comes on your face.
Well, I wish you could see the studio. We haven't got the Facebook Live cameras up yet, but I wish that you could see that the dividend that you gave us is that there are three people in this studio right now smiling because you chose to call and share this with us. And I want to ask Supervisor Valadez, is happiness, I've heard people say happiness is a choice. Like, you can choose to be happy. And so we started out the show today, and we're about to take another break, but we started out the show today by saying every moment of every day you make a choice with the reactions, with the responses, and you can choose to be making those sort of like second mountain decision, right? So is happiness a choice?
I would tell you to do those things that make us happy is a choice. Like Matt described, and Matt, thank you so much for calling. Is happiness, like Matt described it, kind of the pot at the end of the rainbow? You know, sometimes, think about this. One of the most wonderful moments that I have is when somebody comes up to me and says, hey, I listen to your Facebook Live on a regular basis, and it's really made a difference in my life. I mean, I didn't expect it. I didn't do it for that, but doggone, it feels good.
Right. 1:45 p.m. It's lunchtime here. We're power lunching with some of the most influential, interesting, and inspiring newsmakers, style makers, taste makers, movers, shakers, foodies, friends, and healers each and every day right here around our table live in the city of gastronomy. This is AM 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be back with more right after this. Hey, welcome back, everybody. 1:49 p.m. Having lunch. I feel like I'm kind of brown bagging lunch. And in a way, that most humble of lunches speaks to the power of the common man. Of course, that's the fanfare for the common man. Aaron Copland's fanfare for the common man was the highlight of last night's, for my mind, Tucson Pops concert. We had the kickoff of the Tucson Pops summer season with Maestro Laszlo Virasch and the Tucson Pops Orchestra. The entire program was remarkable, and we were thrilled to be there with so many people and so many friends. And I want to remind you that each and every Sunday evening, right at dusk, the Tucson Pops will play a free concert that will send the incredible energy of the fine music that they bring to life and that they play. It just throws that music out, and as it reverberates all the way to the Catalina Foothills Mountains on one side and to the other three mountains that encircle us and protect us and define this place we call Tucson, Arizona, the Sonoran Desert. You are listening to Around the Table, AM 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk, where each day when we have our power lunch with the most interesting and influential newsmakers, tastemakers, lawmakers, movers and shakers, foodies and friends and healers, we save the seat at the head of the table for you, our guest of honor. And that music, that fanfare for the common man, was our tribute to our guest of the hour. Pima County Supervisor Ramon Valadez is here. And in a way, the reason I wanted to play that is because you are like, you know, you're like Tony Robbins for the common man here. You know, it's like I don't have $100,000 to spend to get into your inner circle, right? Like, Tony Robbins is great, but he charges a lot of rich people a lot of money to be able to get this. And that's okay. And that's the value exchange that exists in that world. And everybody that's called to do the work that they're called to do, I think it's fantastic. And enough of what he does, he disseminates so that it all touches us. But I love the idea that every Monday you come here to genuinely inspire us so that in the week ahead, in this from our first hour on Monday, in the week ahead, we're truly inspired, and we're inspired by the example. So thank you.
I think he is the inspirational philanthropist.
Ooh, I like that. He's an inspiration philanthropist.
Yes.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
You like that?
I don't know that I'm worthy of the title, but I like it.
Yeah, you give me a lot. I mean, I know that that's the case. I mean, we got a lot going on here. 520-790-2040 is the number. Bob has...
Actually, one of your callers called and said, inspirationally integrated.
Nice.
I like that.
Thank you. Thank you, caller.
Just out of nowhere.
You know what that is? That's
inspirationally integrated?
That's awesome. That is awesome. So we're here, and earlier, and I wish you could stay during the breaks, and once we get the Facebook Live cameras in the studio up and running, you'll be able to spend the breaks with us. Michelle Cardenas from Brightway Wellness is here. She's a multifocal practitioner of many dimensions of healing arts here in town, and we haven't even gotten into your stuff yet today, which is kind of exciting, because
I'm just drinking in all the inspiration that Ramon is giving us today.
Yes. And we were talking during the break about two things. One, you and I bumped into each other outside of the studio, and we bumped into each other at our friend the Fentons, Riley Craft Pizza and Cocktails, during a lunch. And you were actually having what someone could describe as like a power lunch. Like if somebody from outside the world said, well, I know the power players in this community, and there's two of them right there having lunch right there. You would think, wow, power lunch. What do they talk about at a power lunch? Like, you can imagine, like, you get this, you get everything south of that parallel, and I get everything on this. You know, that's not what they talk about. What they talk
about. Sounds like Game of Thrones kind of like reference
that's,
there.
That's why we're mentioning it, right? Like, because that was the big finale, the big disappointing finale. Because the thing is,
I haven't watched it. Don't do any spoilers. I haven't watched the finale yet.
Please. So the reality is with Game of Thrones, right? Like everyone's kind of disappointed. I think it's disappointing because they were in a very low vibration. They weren't saying, how can we serve? So you were having lunch and you were having a very delicious looking lunch, I must say. And you know, you introduced me to your lunch mate, and I don't want to tell the story, but talk a little bit about the lunch the other day, and you introduced me to your longtime friend and colleague.
Yeah, we were over at Riley's having pizza and salad, and it was with Chuck Huckleberry, who actually I had the pleasure of meeting when I was a student at the university in the College of Engineering and Mines, when he was Department of Transportation Director back then. Now he's, since 1991, he's been interim or the current county administrator.
Yep.
And so we were having lunch. And in truth, I think part of what people think about is exactly like Game of Thrones. And actually, I was a huge fan of Ned Stark, and when they killed him off in the first season, which I knew was coming because I read the book, you know, it lost its luster to me. But if you really think about what those lunches are really like, they're really not about divide and conquer. They're really about building relationships, learning from each other, hearing what's important to each other. How can we succeed together? So really, it's about building relationships. Right. Right. Who can we serve? How can we serve best? And how can we do that together? So it's really about building relationships.
And one of the things, we do this on this show, but this show is very much, I would like to say, and I'm not going to put words in your mouth, because I know I'm not at all your meetings. And I know that there's a lot of nuts and bolts that have to happen to get potholes filled and to get power lines where they need to go. But the truth is, this is not all that unlike the kinds of conversations that happen at any real power lunch, because people that are generous and inspiring seek to inspire. And the dividend of that is something you leave with, much like what Michelle walks around with, which is would you call it an ability? Do you just call it you're tuned in? I mean, like how did you get tuned in to responding with that, how can I serve, versus ego defense?
Practice. It takes some practice. It wasn't, at least for me, it wasn't something that I've always done. I had to learn to do it. You know, going back to the mountain reference, it was like when I was younger, it was all about achieving goals. Do I have a house? Do I have a car? I want this. I want that. But then when you get to the top of that mountain, it's like, well, okay, I'm done with that. What do I do next? And then it became more, well, stuff doesn't matter. You can't take stuff with you. So service is where I found my fulfillment. And so climbing my second mountain, it's all about serving. And it took a lot of practice to get there because we are in a material world.
Mm-hmm. That's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Mindfulness of it, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. habit building towards it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've got about a minute left. What's the inspiration for the week? Where are you going to send us this week?
You know, part of the reason I chose choices is because we all have the ability to be greater. We have the ability to become greater. We have the ability to give more and thus to be more fulfilled. And as Matt reminded us, as a dividend of that, to be happy. Mm-hmm. So remember, the past is what got us to today. The choices we make today is the future we're going to have. So let's make good choices. Choices that are going to make us fulfilled and happy in the service of others.
I want to give everybody the opportunity to know how to reach you in government so that if they have ideas because you've inspired them to get involved or do something this week. Any big news this week coming up?
We have a board meeting tomorrow at 9 a.m. There's a couple big issues on there, but won't get into that in 30 seconds, though.
Pima County Supervisor Ramon Valadez, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you, Jennifer and Michelle. It's a pleasure being with both of you and your listeners.
We're going to be back with more right after this. And when we come back, Michelle is going to take us on part of our healing journey this week. We're going to take you to Chicago for the National Restaurant Association show. And Chef Ryan Clark is going to join us as well. When you get home today, I want you to do me a favor. Please hug your kids and count your blessings.